today that actually the whole of the story has been about ups and downs. Hands up if you have ever felt like this. You've had a really good day and you feel a bit like this. Yes, I hope all of you have had that experience. You get it every Sunday morning when your mum and dad say you're going to church. Wow, he looks happy, doesn't he? Okay, hands up if you've had a morning when you've woken up and you felt just like this. Yeah? Some of you can relate exactly to that at the moment. Well, do you know, the story so far is of good days and bad days. Just let's recap where we've got to. Like all of our lives, there's ups and downs in the story of God's relationship with us. The story started with creation, and God saw all that he has made, including you and me, and said, "It is very good." God said, "Haven't I done well?" when he looks at you and me. And I think he says the same today. Our second word was fall. Do you remember Adam and Eve? All of us rebelling against God, deciding that we were going to live life for ourselves instead of life for God. And that was a pretty bad day. And because of Adam and Eve's rebellion against God, because they want to say, "We'll decide what's right and wrong," they're expelled from the Garden of Eden. But it's not the end. And our next word was call. And there's hope because God calls Abram, who he renames Abraham, and says, "I'm going to make you into a great nation, even though you haven't got any children at the moment. And through you, the whole world will be blessed. And you have more children than stars in the sky." And Abraham and Sarah think, "Wow, that'll take some doing." But it happens. And then last week, we thought about Egypt, and that was very up and down. Do you remember Joseph? So Abraham had a son called Jacob, who had a son called Jacob, who had 12 sons. One of them was Joseph. And Joseph's brothers didn't like Joseph, and they robbed him of his special cloak and sold him into slavery in Egypt. And that was pretty low. Very, very low. But it went up again because Joseph did really well in Egypt and became a prince. And people came from all over the world to bow down to him, including his brothers. And we finished our story last week with all of Jacob's family going into Egypt to be saved because there was food, there was grain in Egypt and not in Canaan. And so we ended last week on a bit of a high. So you can imagine where today's story is going to take us. It's going to start with quite a low point, because this is what happened. After hundreds of years in Egypt, the Hebrew people became so numerous, look at them all, that the Egyptians looked around and said, "Oh my goodness, there's Hebrews everywhere." God's promise to Abraham had started to come true. So many children, you can hardly count them. The king of Egypt, known as the Pharaoh, didn't think, "Oh, isn't that nice? There's lots of people to work with us." He thought, "Oh no, they're going to steal our jobs. We'll have to be careful of them." So do you know what he did? He made them slaves. He said, "They'll do all the hard work and we'll crack the whip over them." The story by this point is about as low as it can get. It's gone from a high point of God saving his people through Egypt to a really low point of his people being enslaved in Egypt. But God hasn't forgotten his people. He hasn't given up on his people. And God sends someone, a bit like he chose Abraham, he sends someone to be his ambassador, to help to save his people. And Helen's mentioned him already. When he was born, because Pharaoh was killing all the little baby boys, he was hidden in a basket in the Rees. Does anybody know his name? Yes, what's his name, Caitlin? Moses it is, well done. And Moses grew up to be an old man. And the story is quite a long one, but eventually he was out looking after some sheep, the sheep of his father-in-law, having run away from Egypt. And God, there he is, meets Moses through a burning bush and says, Moses, as we heard a moment ago, I've got a special job for you. I want you to go and see the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. I love Moses' response. It's the same response that many of us have when God asks us to do something. Moses reels off a list of excuses. Lord, I'm not very good at speaking publicly. I'm too old. Oh, please send someone else. But God says, no, I want you to go. I'll send your brother Aaron, and I want you to go to Pharaoh. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh, there they are, and says, God says, let my people go. And do you know what Pharaoh says? Pharaoh says, no. And he says that several times. And Moses keeps coming back to Pharaoh. And eventually, all sorts of terrible things happen in Egypt as a way of God trying to get the people of Egypt's attention and to say to them, you must let my people go. And eventually, after the worst and most dreadful thing that happened, Pharaoh says, all right, go and take all of them with you. I never want to see you again. And so Moses leads the people through, we'll find out where he leads the people through, but most of you know it. Here we are.
When the king of Egypt heard that the Israelites had finally left, he and his officials changed their minds and said, look what we have done! We have let them get away and they will no longer be our slaves! The king got his war chariot and army ready. He commanded his officers in charge of his 600 best chariots and all his other chariots to start after the Israelites. The Lord made the king so stubborn that he went after them, even though the Israelites proudly went on their way. But the king's horses and chariots and soldiers caught up with them while they were camping by the Red Sea near Pi-Hahiroth and Baal-Zephon. When the Israelites saw the king coming with his army, they were frightened and begged the Lord for help. They also complained to Moses.
Wasn't there enough room in Egypt to bury us? Is that why you brought us out here to die in the desert? Why did you bring us out of Egypt anyway? While we were there, didn't we tell you to leave us alone? We'd rather be slaves in Egypt than die in this desert.
But Moses answered, don't be afraid. Be brave, and you will see the Lord save you today. These Egyptians will never bother you again. The Lord will fight for you, and you won't have to do a thing. The Lord said to Moses, why do you keep calling out to me for help? Tell the Israelites to move forward, then hold your walking stick over the sea. The water will open up and make a road where they can walk through on dry ground. I will make the Egyptians so stubborn that they will go after you. Then I will be praised because of what happens to the king and his chariots and cavalry. The Egyptians will know for sure that I am the Lord. All this time, God's angel had gone ahead of Israel's army, but now he moved behind them. A large cloud had also gone ahead of them, but now it moved between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The cloud gave light to the Israelites, but made it dark for the Egyptians. And during the night, they could not come any closer. Moses stretched his arm over the sea, and the Lord sent a strong east wind that blew all night until there was dry land where the water had been. The sea opened up, and the Israelites walked through on dry land with a wall of water on each side. The Egyptian chariots and cavalry went after them, but before daylight, the Lord looked down at the Egyptian army from the fiery cloud and made them panic. The chariot wheels got stuck, and it was hard for them to move. So the Egyptians said to one another, let's leave these people alone. The Lord is on their side and is fighting against us. The Lord told Moses, stretch out your arm toward the sea. The water will cover the Egyptians and their cavalry and chariots. Moses stretched out his arm, and at daybreak, the water rushed toward the Egyptians. They tried to run away, but the Lord drowned them in the sea. The water came and covered the chariots and cavalry and the whole Egyptian army that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them was left alive. But the sea had made a wall of water on each side of the Israelites, so they walked through on dry land. On that day, when the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore, they knew that the Lord had saved them.
Wow. Do you know, that story in the Old Testament becomes so important that it becomes a defining moment for the people of Israel and their understanding of God. All the way through the rest of the Old Testament, the people of Israel look back to God saving them and bringing them freedom. And they say, we are a free people and our God is a God of freedom. Freedom defines us and it defines God. Freedom is something, they say, that God always desires for his people, always wants for us. It's something that God always takes the initiative for his people. But it requires us to respond. From that moment on, the people of Israel, and you often read it in the Old Testament, they say, the Lord who called us out of Egypt. The Lord who set us free from slavery in Egypt. And I think this is such an important part of the story because it helps us to understand something of the character of God. What does that have to say for us today? We're quite a few of us, not as many as the Hebrew people in Egypt. We probably think, well, slavery has nothing to say to me. We live in Britain. We're free. Rule Britannia and all that. Do you know, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus says to some Jewish leaders something about slavery. And they say, we're not slaves. We're children of Abraham. We know that we're free. And Jesus says this, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Jesus says, if we sin, if we rebel, if we do things against God, then we become slaves to sin. And the thing about slavery and sin is this, that often it comes out of something that God has given us that's good. Often slavery comes from us turning something good into something bad. I think that all of us in some way today are enslaved in some way. You may disagree with me, but I think the Bible teaches us that we all fall away from God very easily. And it's often things that are good. Things like stuff that God gives us. Money, wealth, houses, cars, food, drink even, are fantastic gifts of God, but they're meant to be things that we have control of. And what so often happens is they become things that control us. I wonder this morning whether you and I are in some way enslaved to stuff. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's the future. Maybe it's our wealth. The things that are good have started to control us instead of us control them. Maybe it's our eyes. Eyes are fantastic. We're meant to look at amazing things. But maybe we've started to drift away and look at stuff that just isn't right. To listen to things that aren't right. To use this, one of the most amazing things God's given us, a tongue, instead of to praise people, to gossip about them and talk about them behind their back and complain about the smallest things. So easy to take our tongue and become tutters, constantly tutting about other things, sometimes little things that really don't matter. And before we know it, we've become enslaved to something that should have been good but has turned bad in our lives. The Bible, the New Testament, sees the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as the ultimate exodus, the ultimate journey to freedom. And this morning, As we think about Exodus in the Old Testament, the wonderful truth is that we don't need to be enslaved because of what Jesus has done for us, his life and his death and resurrection. He's made a way through anything that enslaves us and brought us into freedom. In John 8, Jesus again says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I'm going to finish this morning with a prayer. I'd love you just to think really honestly before God. Is there something in my life that has started to control me instead of me control it? It might even be fear. Fear about the future. And I want to invite us to ask the risen Lord Jesus this morning to provide a new exodus, a new way through to hope and freedom and grace. So let's be really quiet if we can and just think about what God has done for us in the past and what he hopes to do in the future. Father, thank you for the story of the Exodus. Thank you that you are a God who is committed to our freedom, who led your people out of slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land, who today leads us through Jesus Christ from slavery into freedom. We invite you this morning to take off from us all the things that enslave us, to give us this morning as we worship you a new freedom, a new sense of your hope and your love and your forgiveness and your grace, that we might live lives as children of God, knowing your glorious, life-giving freedom. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.